I do pray that you will take to heart those words of encouragement and admonition from Pastor Sweat, and that when you go out and wherever the Lord takes you, that you will look at churches not through a lens of how can they minister to me? Do they have all the programs I want? Do they have all the social connections that I want to drive my political or business ambitions or whatever, but that you will look for a place that is faithful to the Word of God where you can get involved and minister side by side with faithful pastors and pastors' wives. If you would please turn back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, where we left off the last time I preached. I want to thank you for your deportment at the lighting. It was considerably easier to tell from, you know, I can't see much up there. You're basically blinded, but it was much easier trying to read the scripture and focus on the message that I was sharing with the group at the lighting. So thank you all very much for being quiet during that time of the scripture reading and through the prayer. We did have a lot of people from campus, or off campus, and even met some folks who came down from North Carolina. So thank you for being a testimony to them through your lives, your deportment. All right, we're dealing with the really overwhelming command in Ephesians 5:1, "Be ye therefore followers of Christ as dear children." That I am to follow, I am to, and the word means mimic or imitate Christ. But my burden for you is not to look at this as yet another thing on a list that I'm supposed to do. That God's given me a list and I've got to, you know, every day I've got to do this and this and this and this and look this way and say this way. And not as something to add to a list. But this is foundational to who we are, who God has made us. And I want to show you again a chart that I had shown you the last time, delineating the two worlds. The world that God has told us we are in, but are not supposed to be of. And that world is full of people. Now, are we supposed to have animosity to those people in the world around us? Are we supposed to have animosity toward them? Give me some feedback. No. What's the Christian stance to those people? Love. We're supposed to have a desire to evangelize and see them come to know what we know, come to be God's children. But it's the beliefs and practices in that world, and not all of them. Some of them are fine. But yet there are beliefs and practices that are part of this world around us that are at odds with God's character, His holiness, His righteousness, His purity, His commandments. And those are the things, those beliefs and practices are the things that we're not supposed to take any part of or be friends with, because if we are, we're adulteresses and adulterers before God spiritually. Because we have now been moved into God's family. We are His children, and as such, there's a new set of beliefs and practices that governs us. And we looked at what the Bible says about the people who are in the world. Look down at chapter 4 of Ephesians, starting at verse 17. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Now that's not a very pretty picture of the people on the the world side, is it? And I made a comment when we first started this sermon. What this is not saying, it doesn't mean that everybody who's unsaved is to the same degree of corruption and depravity. There are those whose depravity, when you hear it on the evening news, it is chilling. And you wonder, how could anybody even do things like that? But then there are very dear and very sincere people who are in that group of people in the world. It's not saying that they're all unsaved have run to the same degree of depravity, but it does mean that outside of Christ, we're all sinners. And it has touched, sin has touched and corrupted every facet of our being. It touches our minds, it certainly touched our soul, touches our bodies. It means that human depravity means sin has touched all of us as a being, and it has separated us from God. But we're supposed to be different. Different from those in the world that we just read described. And we're supposed to reflect God. One reason is because all of those people can't accurately reflect God. Though they're created in His image, it's broken. They can't accurately reflect God. But I want to move on, and I want to thank Dr. Leedy, actually. This summer, sat in on a session he did, and what he shared about worldliness and how he described it helped to clarify in my own thinking. I adapted it slightly, but this chart, I forgot the first time I used it to give credit to Dr. Leedy, but appreciate his help to my own thinking there. But we must imitate God, okay, because there's a whole bunch of people who can't. But now, today, focus on this thought. We must imitate God because of something we've heard. We have learned something from someone whom we should heed. And what we have learned makes everything different. Look down with me at verse 20. But ye, okay, it's contrasting with the unsaved he's just been speaking about, ye, believers, have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. All right, get this. Christians have not so learned what? What is the lesson? What's the last word? Christ. The lesson is Christ. And all that He means. And we have come to know Him. We have been introduced to Him. He is the lesson. But He is also the teacher. Look at verse 21. If so be that ye have heard, what's the next word? Him. Not Paul, not John. If so be that ye have heard Him. And Him means whom? Christ. And have been taught by, what's the next word? Him. I mean, these are amazing verses. We have been introduced to Christ. And we have been taught by our instructor. The lesson was Christ, but the instructor himself was Christ. And then it says, as the truth is in Jesus, in the sphere of all that is true about Jesus, all that the Scripture reveals about Jesus. So He is the lesson, He is the teacher, and He is the schoolhouse. And if you are saved, if I am saved, what this means for us, and I hope you will think of this differently from today forward, we have learned about Christ, from Christ, in the realm, the sphere of things that deal with Christ. And that is something, all we have learned, and from the one we have learned them, has made us different. And we have learned some things. What specifically have we learned about Christ, from Christ? Look at the start of verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Now, what I'm going to share with you may be a little bit different from how you've heard this passage preached before. But I want you to focus on it, all right? I know we have 7 minutes, all right? But you can focus with me for 7 minutes. Right? Even my 8-year-old can focus for 7 minutes. Now, 7 and a half, give up. We have been taught by Christ, in Christ, that we, and literally the tense of this verb is past in Greek. We have, when we learned Christ, when we were introduced to Christ, verse 20, at that moment, we put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. He had been talking about the unsaved. They are corrupt, right? But when we were introduced to Christ and we heard him speak to us the wooing of our conscience through the Holy Spirit's work, when Christ called us, and when we heeded and came to him and put our faith in him as our only salvation, at that moment something happened. We put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. In fact, in Romans 6, verse 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Corruption has been put off. If we know Christ, the old man is dead. We died with Christ. He was crucified. Our old man was crucified with Christ. And with it, the corruption that dominated. We didn't know better. Because that's all we are, but it is done. And what we've learned in Christ is that happened at a point in time in the past. And it's done. We have also learned in the next verse, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now this is something that has happened, but it is supposed to continue happening. It's in the present tense. For all of us as believers, every day when we come to the Word of God, as we hear the Word preached or we're studying it personally, as we're in prayer, as we talk to others, as we hear testimonies, things that touch us spiritually, we are to be renewing in our mind, constantly thinking God's thoughts after Him. And that goes on for a lifetime. Because we're never going to learn all there is to know about God. And we're never going to practice it all perfectly. But we are supposed to be daily being renewed in the spirit of our mind, in our mental and moral realm of our lives. That's what that's talking about, the spirit of your minds, the moral and mental realm. And then the third thing in this passage that we have been taught by Christ, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And now we've switched again to the past tense. This is what happened at salvation. And we need to understand this fully, that the old man was crucified and God did something that only God could do. He did it at the beginning of the world when he spoke and brought everything from nothing. And when we came to Christ and responded to him, we have put on a new creation. We are a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. That's why life's different. Because that happened. And this new creation, what does it look like? Look with me. I want your eyes on the page or on your tablet or whatever. This new person, this new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So the new person that we have become looks like whom? Looks like whom? Christ. It looks like God. Just let me give you one cross-reference, put maybe right there beside that verse. Put down 2 Peter 1:4, which I've used already this semester. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In Christ, in God, we have put on something supernatural. Something that looks like God. And that's why we're to be imitators of him. Not because it's another thing to add to the list, but because we truly are his children. And he has made us at salvation to already look like him. And the rest of life is to be spent focused on mimicking him. So that we can live out to those who are still in corruption in the old man all that is in this nature of God that now has been imparted to you, if you're a believer. Heavenly Father, we pray that as we go out this day, both the words of the testimony and the words of this passage would permeate our thought. And that we would not look at what we do and how the Scripture asks us to follow in obedience as a list that is draining in its obligation, but that we would go out in joy because of the transformation that you have wrought in us and the fact that the old man has been once and for all dealt with at the cross. And that now we are new creatures, and that's why we're supposed to reflect you. That it's to be natural for us. And we pray that the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts today to make it more natural for us, to bring to mind passages that challenge us to change, to be better imitators of God, and that we would yield, that we would be better reflectors of you in a dark and needy world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.